This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Welcome to our first session of the Aqeedah, the Islamic Creed. Today, inshallah, we'll take the introduction to this subject. And today, we will start by the meaning and the words, the definition of the Aqeedah, the usage of this term, Aqeedah. What are the alternative names and why we chose this name other than other names, and the subjects that we will cover in this semester and later on, inshallah. So that's what we are trying to cover today, inshallah. The introduction, the meaning, and the subject. Aqeedah, the word Aqeedah is derived from the root word aqada. Aqada. Aqada in Arabic literally means to tie a knot. That's the meaning of aqada. And therefore we have the word uqda. Uqda means knot. When you tie something, this is called uqda. So that's how this word Aqeedah was derived from Aqada. Because once you tie a knot, it becomes strong. So that's the Aqeedah. Because Aqeedah has to have a firm belief. So in Arabic, they say Aqeedah is to tie your heart to something, whether good or bad, to determine to do something. And the determination is in the heart. And when we say whether it is good or bad, because aqidah, creed, could have a good meaning or a bad meaning. It could have a true aqidah or a bad aqidah. That's why we say the creed of the Christians, the creed of the Jews, the creed of the Muslims. So the word aqidah does not pertain only to the Muslims, to the Islamic creed. This is the introduction to the word aqidah, aqada. This term, if you noticed, aqidah, this term is not used neither in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nor in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You will not find any word in the Quran says aqidah. Even in the sunnah of the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam never said that this is the aqidah of the Muslim. However, scholars used this word a lot. And the first time this word or this term, aqidah, was used, it was by the Imam As-Sabuni, rahimahullah, who died in the year 449. He has a book, his book, called Aqidat al-Salaf wa Ashab al-Hadith. That's the first time this word was used. So it is almost after 500 years. Before that, they used to have other terms like Sharia or Iman, Kitab al-Iman, Kitab al-Sharia. And we have examples. We have Kitab al-Sharia, Imam al-Ajurri, rahimahullah. We have Kitab al-Iman. For several scholars, they wrote the same, they took the same name, Kitab al-Iman. So all these terms are similar. And they talk about one thing, the Islamic theology, the Aqeedah, the creed, the Islamic creed. Now, the meaning of the Aqeedah is the definite ruling. The definite ruling. Not any other ruling. Once we say this is the Aqeedah, means that you firmly believe in it. You cannot say, this is my Aqeedah, I think. Because once you think, there is a possibility that there is an error or it is wrong. Once you say, I believe, this is my aqidah, means this is your firm believing. I firmly believe. So that's the aqidah. That's the difference between this word, aqidah, and other words that are used. Now, the belief could change. That's why we have non-Muslims who are converting. They are reverting to Islam. But the aqidah, it's more difficult to change because your heart is already established. on that belief. That's why it's very firm. Now, again, other scholars, they used other terms. We have the Aqidah, we have Fiqh al-Akbar. Now, Fiqh is a different subject of Islam. Fiqh, understanding what is lawful and what is unlawful. But when we say al-Fiqh al-Akbar, the grand, the biggest Fiqh, it means the Aqidah also. Especially for the scholars of the Ahnaf, the Hanafi school of thought. Because Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, he himself, he wrote a book which is called Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar. Now when you say Fiqh, you will understand from that book, it is a book of Fiqh, book of Halal and Haram, book of prayer, fasting, Hajj. But when you say Al-Fiqh Al-Akbar, it means Aqeedah. Because it's not any fiqh, it's al-fiqh al-akbar, the grand understanding, the greatest fiqh. We have principles of religion, usul al-din. Some scholars, they said that, principles of religion, and they divide religion to two branches. We have the principles, the fundamentals, and we have the other actions, the rituals. So there are aqa'id and there are ahkam. The ahkam, we deal with it in fiqh. And the principles, we deal with it in the aqidah. So this is another term which is used, usul al-din, the principles of the religion. Now hajj is from the religion, fasting from the religion. But the detailed rulings of fasting, of hajj, these are the issue of fiqh. While the fundamental rulings, believing that hajj is obligatory, fundamental rules about fasting, these are from the Aqeedah. So we call it Usul al-Din. Also another name, another term which is used, At-Tawheed. Because basically what's the creed of the Muslims, the Islamic creed? It's the creed of the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they use this term also, At-Tawheed. And we have our book, Kitab al-Tawheed, the book of Tawheed. What does it talk? It's not only about the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah, but it is about the Islamic creed. So this is another term which is used, At-Tawheed. Deen. Some scholars use this term, Deen. So there are many terms. Now what do we learn from this? There is a lesson. Whether you call it Fiqh Akbar, whether you call it Aqeedah, whether you call it Usul al-Din, as long as you're talking about the same issue, that's it. Because some people would come and say, why you are using a term which is not used in the book of Allah or in the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? It doesn't matter. Even the fiqh, at the time of the Messenger ﷺ, he did not tell them, I am starting with the fiqh and we are moving to hadith. They did not take it this way. Later on, they divided the religion to these types of knowledge. So it's not a big deal to call it Islamic creed, to call it aqidah, to call it usul al-din, to call it Tawheed, as long as it talks about the same thing, that's what matters most. Deen, this word, Deen, is really a very rich word. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Inna Deena inda Allah al-Islam. Deen has multiple meanings. It has lots of meanings. The word Deen. My Deen, when you say my Deen, means my religion is Islam. I believe in Islam. So the Deen comes an alternative to the word Islam, religion. But also, one of the meanings that implied in deen is dhul, humbleness. Humbleness or dhul. Because once you have the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to humiliate yourself to Him. You have to admit, to acknowledge that you are the servant, you are the slave, and He is the Lord, He is the God. So, this is one of the meanings of the deen. Another meaning for the deen is the worship, the ibadah. That's why they say, هَذَا مَا نَدِينُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى بِهِ. That's how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they use this word, deen. Another meaning for the deen is the obedience, or ta'a. Ta'a means obedience. Adana lahu means ata'ahu, he obeyed him. Once someone obeys someone, he's called Yideen, he's obedient. So one of the meanings of the deen is obedience, ta'ah. Also the jaza', the reward. Reward does not mean always correct or good. It may also mean the evil thing. Where did this meaning come from? One of the names of the Day of Judgment is what? Yawm al-Din. What does it mean? Yawm al-Din. Yawm al-Jaza'. The Day of Compensation. If you did good, you will get the reward. If you did bad, you will get the punishment. So again, Deen, Yawm al-Jaza'. The compensation. Also, of the meanings of the Deen, is the habit. هَذَا دِينُهُ وَدَيْدَنُهُ. When you say this is his deen, means that's his habit, that's his norm, that's what he does. Now if you apply all these meanings are implemented in the word deen, they are manifested in the Islamic term deen. Because you cannot worship without humbleness. If you are arrogant, your ibadah will not help you. You have to have humbleness. You have to submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You have to anticipate the reward. You'll get the reward for your ibadah. And the ibadah sometimes becomes natural. So all these meanings are implied in this word, deen. So it's not an easy word. It's very, very rich word, deen. Another term which is important, Islam. Islam. And I'm pretty sure you are asked about the meaning of this word. What does Islam mean? Islam has several meanings. To surrender. To submit or submission. To give up. Have you ever heard this meaning? Yeah. They say, أَسْلَمَ رُوحَهُ. When someone dies, he gave up his life. It's not him who gave up his life, but that's how the term is used, the expression. أَسْلَمَ رُوحَهُ. أَسْلَمَ رُوحَهُ means he died, he passed away. So they use this word, أَسْلَم. أَسْلَم becomes to become a Muslim, but also أَسْلَمَ رُوحَهُ, he gave up his life. Also in money transactions, when we say salam, aslama. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, man aslafa, man aslama, whoever handed, gave up. So this is another meaning, giving up. Peace also could be one of the meanings for salam, peace, Islam. And there are also many other meanings. So Islam has several meanings as well. Now in this summer, this semester inshallah, that's what we're trying to cover. The belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. His names and attributes. We will go quickly through the names and attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be the subject for the next year. But it is one of the topics that we discuss here in this subject, the Aqeedah, the belief in the messengers. Basically, if you wanted to know what are the topics of the Aqeedah, list the pillars of Iman. What are the pillars of Iman? Belief in Allah, belief in messengers, belief in the books of Allah, belief in the angels, belief in the Day of Judgment, and the reward, the divine decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the topics. And then comes lots of details. So these are the topics of the Aqeedah. So we have the belief in the messengers. We have the belief in the angels. We have the belief in the Day of Judgment. All these things, inshallah, will be covered in this semester. Then there are the issues of belief and disbelief. Who is the believer? Who is the disbeliever? How someone could be called disbeliever? What are the things that a Muslim should avoid? Because if he falls in one of them, he may go out of the fold of Islam. This is another important topic that will be discussed, inshallah, second semester. Love and hate for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, another topic. The issues of destiny and divine decree. This is the beginning, inshallah, of the second semester. The innovations and innovators. This is something that is discussed in the Aqeedah. Now, again, as I told you, that's not all what we are going to cover. These are examples of the things that we discuss in Aqeedah. The reason why I'm mentioning this, to try to know what is the relationship between this subject and the other subject, like the Tafsir, Ulum al-Quran. We just mentioned few topics of Ulum al-Quran. And now we are mentioning few topics of the Aqeedah. All these types of knowledge, all these science, they are merged together because it's all Islam. They all overlap in a way or another. That's why it's important to take the knowledge as a solid structure instead of taking two words from here and one topic from there and one subject from here. You will not gain enough knowledge. Whether you start with one subject from A to Z, or you start with all of them in an organized way to understand all of them. Because again, as at the time of the Messenger ﷺ, they did not have these divisions. It came later on. That's not the issue. Are they divided or not? But the issue, what are you learning? Previous scholars, they used to start with one topic. They memorized the entire Quran, they finished that, they moved to the Hadith. After they mastered the Hadith, they moved to the Fiqh. And that's how they did. But nowadays, someone may read one book in one topic and he thinks that he finished this topic, he mastered it. Then he moves to another thing. While actually, the more you read, the more you will find out that you need more and more. You need more once you read more. Imam Shafi, rahimahullah, he said, once I learn something new, I learn more that I am ignorant. كُلَّمَا ازْدَدْتُ عِلْمًا ازْدَدْتُ عِلْمًا بِجَهْلِي. Because before that issue, you knew, you were ignorant. You did not know it. And now you knew. Now ask anyone, what do we know? Is it more than what we don't know, or what we don't know is more than what we know? No one could tell you, I know more than what I don't know. Every day you are learning something new. Every day, it's a daily process. Yet we think that we know everything. And that's the same we used to think 10 years ago. Yet it changed now. And again, it will change later on. We are learning. It's a lifetime process. Imam Ahmad, rahimahullah, when he was asked, they saw the ink with him and the pen. So they asked him, until when? He's the Imam Ahmad. Until when you seek knowledge? He said, until death. مَعَ الْمَحْبَرَ إِلَى الْمَقْبَرَ. Until I die. One of the scholars, he was on the deathbed. He was breathing his last. And he heard the hadith and he told them, write it for me. They said, you're dying. He said, write it for me. Because you don't know. Maybe by this hadith only, you will be forgiven. So again, all these subjects, they overlap in a way or another. And you'll find out, inshallah, more. That's the advantage of studying the subjects together instead of studying one subject every course. Now, here's the question. Do we discuss in the Aqeedah the issues of the fiqh? Do we discuss them or not? Do we discuss in the Aqeedah how many recommended acts in Hajj or in prayer? No. Where do we discuss this? In fiqh. Right? That's why we have fiqh. Do we discuss in the Aqeedah the issue of wiping over the socks? Fiqh. Yet when you open some books of Aqeedah, like Aqeedah al-Wasitiyah, Shaykh al-Islam, or the books of Aqaid for other scholars, you will find this issue there. Wiping over the socks. Why? It's not an Aqeedah issue. It's a fiqh issue. Once a group of deviant sects, group of people, who they deviated. They agree on something, even if it's from the fiqh, it becomes aqidah issue. Not because it is aqidah issue, but just to let the people know that the belief of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah is not like these people. Why we have this issue in the books of aqidah? Because the Shia, they all agreed that you cannot wipe over the socks. So to distinguish the people of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah from the Shia, they started mentioning this. Because basically, once you write your aqidah, you say we believe in Allah, we believe in the Day of Judgment, we believe that hellfire is true, and paradise is true, we believe that we wipe over the socks, you should not mention this. But again, eventually it was mentioned. Why? Because some people denied that. Although initially it was a fiqh issue, later on it became an aqidah issue. This is very rare, but you will find it sometimes. Why I'm mentioning this? Because if you found this in one of the books of aqidah, I don't want you to be surprised. You need to know the reason behind that. Why it was mentioned there. There is a reason. Now we have assignment. This is the only assignment for today, inshallah. And it's a short one. Mention all the meanings of the word Islam. We just mentioned them, right? Well, that's not what I'm asking. What I want from you, the meanings of Islam in the Quran. I'll give you an example. In Surah Ali Imran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Inna ad-dina 'inda Allahi al-Islam." What's the meaning of Islam here? In another places in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also mentioned the Islam. So what's the meaning of Islam there? With this, we will conclude, inshallah, this session.